Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Midweek Drive continues, and clearly once a Midweek Driver, always a Midweek Driver. That's pretty much the line we've taken. Isn't that right, broadcaster extraordinaire Emma Tinson?
Oh, broadcaster extraordinaire. I like that title, Alex. It's good to be back. I'm very excited.
Well, as somebody who is now putting the grr in girl, yes, I've been speaking to Tessa Snart about the sort of things you've been getting up to. Wonderful. Share with us, how have things been over the last few months in betwixt the pandemic phase one, and now, of course, we're heading into pandemic phase two?
Well, I mean, what a journey. It's been slightly crazy for me, getting used to working at home. I had to postpone my wedding, which was not ideal.
Was Luke happy or was he unhappy? What was the line? What was Luke's feeling?
I think he was actually more upset about it than I was, because he was like, so like, after months of stress, he was really ready to, you know, get the party done. But it wasn't to be. But we're now on course for our second attempt next year. So we'll see how that goes. Fingers crossed.
Just like Robin Pierce's daughter, you know, it's just a case of a slight postponement, deferred gratification. It'll all work out splendidly. And you can always say, Emma, to Luke, if he wants to actually sort of do some midweek drive-out sort of connections, he's still always welcome. You know, he can join us on Zoom if he
wants.
Exactly.
You
know? I realise it's no replacement for a wedding, but, you know, it's an opportunity. It's a possibility. What the heck?
You never know. I've been keeping myself busy anyway. I've been working from home, doing lots of things like this, interviews over the internet, which is the new normal now. I started up a podcast like many other people in this pandemic with too much time on their hands. It's been going really well. I'm about to put out my 10th episode, which I'm very excited about. So yeah, we're slowly getting there, but it keeps me busy, and that's the main thing.
Well, it's always important to actually sort of work through that, because as we all know, the old maxim, the devil makes work for idle hands, which is very critical. Emma, you graduated 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I'm these days.
I think it was four. Yeah, it doesn't feel like that, but it's it's been a while now. Time has flown by. I feel like I've done so much since uni, but it does really feel like yesterday. And whenever I, you know, follow the University of Lincoln on social media and everything, whenever I see updates, I always think, oh, you know, I do miss it a lot. I've gone on, you know, a full journey with my career ever since. And I'm now an entertainment journalist, which is what I always wanted to do. Which is great. So I'm regularly interviewing film stars, directors, musicians, all sorts of interesting people.
Being on the Midweek Drive then, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the same as the good old days.
Well, we like to feel that. I mean, on a day which has seen us feature Blue Peter presenter Lindsay Russell, Roger Black, and indeed ace author Thomas Roberts, it's been all very hectic. In fact, Jessica was actually involved with a piece we were doing with award-winning author Kat Rambo. Yes, it's her real name. I know, we were so tempted to actually say, but yes, Kat Rambo is her real name. I figured that no Sylvester Stallone references. And as Jessica will actually confirm, because of the challenges of the connection at that day between North Carolina, Texas, and Teesside, Lincoln, of course, we really didn't know where we were going. But we got there in the end. That's the important thing. Think of it, Emma, as the journey we took across the Pennines through the fog and the mist to get to the Fab Cafe. You know, that sort of experience, really, but in an audio form. That's the crucial thing.
I love it. An epic journey.
Interesting. I was just actually having a look, and this actually will probably be our 4,280th podcast. So I just sort of
heads
up that. So it's an honour to actually have you on the 4,280th podcast, which is great. And as we said, it's the first time we've actually seen Jessica's background since, of course, she returned to university in North Carolina. And I mean, describe where you are, Jessica, in terms of what the listener would be able to see if they had the benefit of Zoom and if we were doing a video call or a kind of DC fandom Comic Con thing.
I'm in the union currently of our university. My friend is sitting across from me and it's very beautiful out. It's kind of cloudy. You can see the mountains where I am. Yesterday it was raining. It was beautiful. There was all this mist just lifting off of the green trees and it was gorgeous. And there's a lot of people wearing masks, which is always good to see.
And of course, we know, Jessica, you're wearing the invisible mask because that's obviously critical. It's the invisible mask.
Which I'm tucked in the corner.
Very, very, very crucial. Emma, returning back to your own sort of thing, since graduating, I mean, clearly this is the unprecedented time of life that we're actually in there. Have you ever been tempted to go back into hard journalism or serious journalism and say, well, with Boris Trump as Boris Trump? You see what I did there? You know, an amalgamation. You know,
they are one being almost.
Yeah, Donald Johnson and Boris Trump. There's a whole new world from that point of view. It's extraordinary. Ever any thoughts about stepping into that? Or was it a case of, no, I've got enough with respect to what's going on in the Academy Awards ceremony without all the rest of the bits and pieces?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've always been interested in all forms of news. And the reason I wanted to get into journalism was just because I enjoy interviewing people and talking to people and hearing their stories. But entertainment news always was just what really gripped me. I mean, I'm a huge film fan anyway. So talking about films is a dream come true. You know, if they pay me for that, I'm down with that. But I actually do cover quite a lot of hard news in my job as well with entertainment news. You know, celebrities can be caught up in big scandals, political scandals, legal scandals.
No, surely not.
There's a lot of hard-hitting stuff in there too.
I know, Jessica, that I've had to almost consider effectively sending in therapists to Graham Harper, BAFTA award-winning director, because of the Kardashians effectively ending their At Home with the Kardashian series. Graham, I mean, I don't know if you've been able to cope, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, there are other series away around, more than life in than the Kardashians, shall we say. He can't hear us. Or maybe he can hear us. Maybe he'll need to log in and maybe log out. I don't know. He seems to be there after a fashion. But then again, he doesn't seem to be there. I don't know. It's strange and peculiar, the wondrous ways of things, etc. Jessica, any questions that you'd like to put to Emma about life, the universe? Anything really? I mean, she's got great advice as a midweek driver. I mean, she did a good 3 years midweek driver duties, and still, obviously, occasionally, you know, comes along, does the bits and pieces as well. So over to you.
Actually, Alex and I kind of talked about this a little bit before I left Lincoln. But how do you think COVID is going to change how we interact with each other and communicate on a daily basis?
Oh, that's such an interesting question, because I think it is just always going to be ever changing, especially over the next couple of years. I don't think it's going to be a quick, you know, back to normal thing at all. I think we're so lucky, look, that we live in this generation where we have the internet and we can use this fantastic tool to communicate with each other. You know, if this was 20 years ago, we wouldn't have this ability, maybe, and, you know, all of these, you know, fantastic ways of getting together. So we're so lucky, really. But I do think that this is going to be the way forward. Lots of interviews over the internet, lots of video calls. I mean, in my job, I've only been back into London once or twice, I think, since
Don't
March.
Go again. Don't ignore Richard Fitzwilliams. Don't go back, Emma. Stay away.
I know, it's crazy. But yeah, I've been back into London once for a socially distant event. But it was very, very strange. Everyone wearing masks, all of the 2 meters apart thing. And I think, you know, we're not going to be seeing film premieres, anything like that, anytime soon. I think it's going to be very much all over the internet, everyone in the comfort of their own home.
So you mean to say, Emma, that you're not going to be actually going out on Christmas Day when Wonder Woman 84 is actually going to be released, allegedly?
No. I was so sad that got pushed back again. I have been back to the cinema a couple of times. Obviously, we had a big Christopher Nolan release, so I had to go and see that.
Yeah, but with Christopher Nolan, it was the same thing backwards and forwards. It was Tenet. It was just one way or the other.
Exactly. Have I been to see it yet? Who knows?
Has Graham Harper joined us yet? Has he been? Has he come back? Graham, are you with us now? We still can't hear himself. We can't. He seems to have muted himself now. We've got him in vision, but we haven't actually got his sound. Graham, feel free to chirp in as and when your microphone seems to be working, or maybe log out and log in again. Now you seem to have muted yourself, so now you need to unmute yourself. It's talking. I don't know. We have session after session. Maybe it's something to do with the Friday, Jessica. Maybe that's the key thing that's actually occurred from that point of view.
I think so.
It's just most peculiar. Or maybe I should never have mentioned the Cardassians. You know, that's the sort of ultimate.
That's
thing.
It. You cursed it.
Anyway, Graham, I'll try one more time. Can you actually hear us? And can you actually respond? Yeah, we could lip read, but it's not going to help.
Aww. You know,
I tell you what, Graham, try logging out and logging back in again, because Jessica's using the ultimate magic now of putting her mask on to make sure that all's well with the world. So that's great. So if you log out and log back in, I'll hopefully sort of readmit you. It may well be because for some reason we have two Graham Harpers in the sequence at present here, one with camera and one without camera. I know, I don't understand it either. Maybe he's been cloned, but still, yeah, that's part and parcel of the whole thing. Anyway, let's talk movies, Emma, because it is your forte. Lots of sort of discussion in terms of going back to cinema. I know Richard Fitzwilliams, who, as you know, is still our regular film critic, together with Robin Pierce. He does feel as though we should get back to the cinema. New Mutants hasn't exactly had the box office success that people were hoping for. Sorry, a jester, you know, it's ironic. How many times could it be pushed back before they say, actually, maybe it should have actually been really... Mulan, well, I mean, I think Disney took the right decision, but fundamentally, wouldn't it have been better if Mulan had also been released at an affordable price? Because if you have Disney Plus as a subscriber service in any case, to then pay £20 for her release seems a little bit excessive. I don't know, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I actually don't think Disney made the right decision. I think they should have, if they weren't comfortable releasing it at this time, they should have delayed it like many other films have, because from what I've seen from the trailers, Mulan looks like a huge action movie, and you know, the visual effects look incredible, and I feel like that needs to be seen on the big screen in the cinema. But as you say, they've gone for the Disney Plus route, and I think the mistake they've made is saying, you know, yes, you can pay £20 for this, but also we're going to release it for free anyway in December. So I don't really see why anyone would pay now. Personally, I'm going to wait till Christmas when I can watch it for free.
Well, you and me both, Emma. That's the important thing. Now, the next critical question is, Jessica has her mask on. You're all set. We're all set, etc. Graham has rejoined us. There's just one Graham Harper now, hello, because the other Graham Harper's gone. And I think we can hear you as well, Graham.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You see, it just shows persistence, positivity, and in Jessica's case, wearing the mask of magic, because that's what it is, the mask of magic, has actually brought you to the fore. So I can formally actually say, Graham Harper, you can now see Jessica Burtis in her North Carolina base of operations there. Wow. And of course, Emma Tinson, who I'm not sure whether you've actually ever seen. Have you seen each other? Have you met each other physically before? Or is this, I know you've spoken many a time on the show, but...
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Graham face to face before. We've only heard each other over down the line, our voices. So it's very nice to see you in person.
And you, it's really good.
Face to screen. That's what it's all about.
Face to screen.
FTS. Face to screen. Marvellous. The way forward, surely. As indeed our official mascot, one of our mascots, Jessica, will actually say. And of course, Emma, never forget that Spike is still here as well.
Of course.
These are critical things. Graham, hopefully you were listening into some of the things I was chatting about with Emma and Jessica earlier, when obviously you were muted for some bizarre reason and so on.
Couldn't hear a thing.
You couldn't hear a thing?
Nope.
Oh, well, fair enough. In which case, lip reading was pointless. Well, I'll turn to you then. As we're preparing to go back, and Emma, ace broadcasting journalist, etc., we were saying about Hollyoaks moving back to production and so on, your own concerns about that. We've just heard that we're in the midst of the second wave, coronavirus, etc. Teesside, you'd be pleased to know, as I actually sort of pointed out earlier, we've managed to avoid the second local lockdown at present. So success on that particular aspect, why the local lockdown on Teesside avoided. But, you know, we're still in the middle of this. Are you still concerned about, obviously, the whole production processes?
Yeah, largely. Hugely, not largely.
Largely and
my
hugely.
Problem is that, well, largely and hugely, hugely. I'm a diabetic type 2, so I've got to be a bit concerned about going into the largeness of working with a lot of people. I'm sure they've got it all worked out, but I should not be going up there snivelling with flu, which is what I get every Christmas, and I'm being offered something over that period, so I'm not sure it's a good idea.
I'm laughing because actually I just thought that surely has got to be the successor to At Home with the Kardashians, replaced by Graham Harper snivelling with flu. You know, I mean, you know, the interaction of people, the sort of the jeopardy, the sense of climbing. I mean, Emma, that's got to be an Academy Award winning tale, surely.
I mean, it's got a ring to it, hasn't it? I could see that selling.
Yeah. Not so attractive, though, is it?
Oh, sure, we could work around it. Emma, any questions you'd like to put to Jessica or indeed Graham at this moment in time?
Well, Jessica, I would love to hear more about what it's like in North Carolina. I've never been, so could you tell me what it's like over there?
Yeah, so we're kind of, I think we're coping a little bit better than South Carolina with the virus at the moment. and we're trying to just keep wearing our masks. And the universities have had a lot of issues because a lot of them opened up and then closed a week later. And our school thought it was brilliant to have wrestling for some reason still happen. So the wrestling team got COVID. So that, I don't know who greenlit that. But
you Americans, you colonials, honestly, there's just no shame, is there? You got in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic and you say, let's slam down, let's have some wrestling.
Nobody knows why.
How do you do that with 2 meters separation?
That's what I'm wondering. Your guess is as good as mine. Virtual wrestling or something. I don't know. Some new.
Emma, you've got to do an entertainment special on wrestling and COVID. I mean, that's got to be the next step. Really.
I mean, that sounds like the future of entertainment, I'm sure. Graham, I've got a question for you as well, because loads of people have been binge watching TV shows throughout lockdown. And of course, you've worked on so many amazing shows over the years. Do you ever look back at your own work, or is that something that kind of cringes you out a little bit?
Not really, although I did have because there was a thought of doing a tweeting whilst showing a particular Doctor Who, which actually didn't happen, but which was the Waters of Mars. I looked at it just so I knew what I was going to talk about, and I was quite, wow. I did that. I was quite impressed.
Not only did you do it, Graham, you were also the voice of Gadget, as we said.
Yes, here we go again. Gadget. I don't look at my work again. No, I've very rarely, because I always think, oh, why did I do it that way? It's pointless because you can't do anything about it. So that's what I do. I don't watch it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. We're all our own self-critics, aren't we? So absolutely. I think that's fair enough.
Do you do that?
I actually, it's funny because I'm predominantly a radio journalist, but I do stuff on camera as well. And I hate watching myself back on camera because I always think, oh, why am I, you know, waving my hands around too much? Or why am I slouched forward? And I'm always very, very critical of myself. I think everyone is, though. I think that's just a part of human nature. No one wants to big themselves up too much, do they?
No, but I like that in a presenter or a newsreader, or how I like it when they're very expressive, using their body language and their hands. I think that's smashing.
Oh, that's good. I'll keep hand waving then.
Just wave them around like some kind of crazy image of a spitting image puppet that goes all over the place. That's the
yeah.
It's always good. It shows tactility and so on. I've been remiss so far in the batch of interviews we've done so far. I need to actually mention this. I'm sure, Emma, you'd be pleased to know if you don't know already. Likewise, Jessica, that the University of Lincoln, the home, of course, of Siren Radio and the first English university to be awarded a full-time radio license by Ofcom, has indeed been named by the Times and Sunday Times Good University Guide as Modern University of the Year.
I did. Wow. I saw this today. Congratulations, Uni of Lincoln. It's very exciting.
There we are. The accolade follows a host of achievements, including being named one of the world's greatest young universities in the Times Higher Educational Young University Ratings, placed 14th in the UK for overall student satisfaction, and indeed scoring a top 5-star rating in the QS Stars rating systems of global universities. I put it all down to Graham's guest lectures, though. You know, that's the key thing. You know, and of course, your work, Emma, and the sort of thing that tipped the balance was Jessica's one term as an exchange student. Fantastic. Sort of through that. And of course, let's not forget Jessica's magical mask, the mask of magic. Emma, you've also started this wonderful podcast called Putting the Grr Back in Girl.
Now, yes.
Is that going to be a risk of going too far woke? I mean, you know, I just don't know. You could have actually changed everything. You could have actually said, yeah, Graham, Alex, get off now, straight away. You know, or just talk to us about it. Is it empowerment? Share your thoughts.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to start the podcast. I mean, I've always wanted to do a podcast anyway, but I thought, you know, there's loads of film review podcasts out there. I won't venture into that. So I thought, what am I passionate about? And that's empowering other women and inspiring women. And I always, when I was younger, I don't think I really understood what a feminist was. And it was always kind of thought of as, you know, like a dirty word, like no one wants to be a feminist because there's a lot of negativity around it. You know, everyone thinks, oh, it's just, you know, an angry woman. That's the stereotype you think of. I think when I was younger, I was always the girl, you know, I had an older brother and I was always like, why can't I do what he does? If he did football, I wanted to do football.
Wrestling, of course.
He joined the Cub Scouts, so I was like, I'm going to do Cub Scouts as well. And I was always kind of like that growing up. But I never really connected that to feminism in any way. You know, as I've got older, I have received, you know, sexist comments, especially in the workplace, unfortunately. And it's never, I don't think it's ever particularly intentional. I think it's a lot of the time just, you know, these archaic views that we have as a society that, you know, get dropped into conversation now and again. And I just kind of wanted to make a platform where women could share their stories and their experiences and, you know, not be too negative, but share all of these positive views and uplifting stories as well. So it's been exciting so far. And I think you'll be glad to know, actually, that although the name of the podcast, The Girl in Girl, is quite cheesy, it is actually a quote from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, you know, getting a bit of pop culture in there too.
I was going to ask, had you actually put all of your fandom days of cosplay as Harley Quinn and indeed Buffy, etc., to one side? But it's good to know that's still there, you know?
No, I'm absolutely still a massive nerd, so don't worry about that.
Very, very critical. I mean, it is actually, Graham, though, a very serious point and something which is really quite sad. Here we are in the third decade of the 21st century, and those of us certainly who have been part of, obviously, either university life or midweek drive life or shows across the base who kind of actively looked to be much more positive, etc., we still have these instances occurring, which just seems crazy. I mean, I was actually watching, in preparation, Jessica will be aware of this, for next week's Resonance Rewind, UFO. And I was thinking the character played by George Sewell of Alec Freeman, he'd have several lawsuits in the first 10 minutes of the show alone if he actually took his... but surely we've moved on. I mean, Graham, do you think we've moved on or is it just an illusion?
No, I think we've moved on. Definitely. I mean...
Then again, as a white male, we would say that in any case. So, you know, we step aside from that completely.
Absolutely.
Jessica, what about yourself? I mean, do you think there are still issues? I mean, again, you've been a key part of Resonance Rewind. In case you're wondering, Emma, this is a weekly show that we put together with Starburst lead writer Robin Pierce, where we look back at usually an episode, a single episode of a programme. It can be the Time Tunnel, Rendezvous with Yesterday. It can be the opening episode of The Invaders. It can be an episode of The Twilight Zone, an episode of Star Trek, and so on. Jessica, what are your thoughts? And you will... Go on.
I do think that things have gotten much better. I think that there's still room for improvement quite a bit, but I do think that they've definitely improved. I know sometimes we watch Resonance, we rewind episodes, we'll see, you know, how a female character in the past would have just been there to like scream and faint. and so, yeah, I think things have gotten a little bit better, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine Diana Rigg as Emma Peel just screaming and fainting, really. It just was never going to happen. Yeah, that's the key thing.
Oh, great dialogue in those days.
Yeah. And as we know, Emma Tinson was named after Emma Peel, clearly on that sort of basis. It's what course. Your mum decided, clearly. That was the way forward.
I think you're all right, though. We've definitely moved forward, and especially, you know, with, you know, characters we see in film and television, there's so many more positive female characters nowadays, which is fantastic. Even in, you know, like the Bond films, which, you know, stereotypically have maybe questionable female characters, but even now, you know, you're seeing some really strong, powerful women who are intelligent and, you know, just doing their thing amazingly. So it's really great to see these characters on screen. And as Alex mentioned earlier, we've got a Wonder Woman film on the horizon, which I'm very much looking forward to. So yeah,
you've got Black Widow as well.
We've got Black Widow. I'm very interested to see Florence Pugh in that. She looks like she's going to be great. But yeah, so we are heading in the right direction, 100%.
And of course, we've got a potential Deputy Vice President of the United States who might actually sort of have one or two things to say, or maybe not. I mean, who knows? Different, exactly. But as indeed, as Jessica will confirm, as predicted effectively in the Amazon Prime series Upload, where indeed the joint package of an Oprah Winfrey and a Kamala Harris 2024 presidential ticket was actually one of the key posters that was faced there. Just shows the prediction processes. Graham, any questions you'd like to put to either Jessica or Emma about life, the universe, as obviously police sirens go off in terms of this? That's what happens here. We like to have total lockdown, you know, slam down, you know, no messing about. That's why I often say Middlesbrough, it's just like an American city, really. Anyway, off you go, Graham.
Caught up with you. Emma, there's two questions I like to ask, but I'm going to do them in the reverse order, but you don't know what order they are anyway. So the reverse order is, I believe a colleague of mine, Eros Lynn, who's a director that I know from Torchwood and Doctor Who, whatever. I saw in a paper recently that he's made a film that has just been released. And I wondered if you could tell us something about it, if you know of it.
Oh, I've not heard of it. Do you know the title of the
No,
film?
That's the... I didn't see the title. I just read that he'd made a movie which had been released, and I wondered how, because we're in sort of lockdown, and what, how, you know, how was that going to be released?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure, but a lot of productions have managed to continue a little bit of filming in and out of lockdown. We've seen a number of productions halted in March, but a few things have started back up. Recently, you might have seen in the news that the Batman film started back up, but sadly, Robert Pattinson got COVID.
If only he hadn't been engaging in those wrestling matches, it would have been fine.
I know elsewhere in Europe, we've got a Mission Impossible film that has started up filming. My fiancé actually works in TV, and he's started filming a lot of things again now. But there's just so many more precautions in place, which is obviously a really important thing. But yeah, it's just, you know, 101 more forms to fill out, lots of checks, and lots of extra safety on set. So that's the key thing that's been going on, I think. But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see that when it does come out.
Well, yeah. it's called Dream Horse, Graham. That's Dream Horse.
Dream Horse.
It's 130 minutes in length, so, you know, accessible. It's a biography, a comedy drama, and it's all about an unlikely horse race read by small-town Welsh bartender Jan Vokes. With no experience, Jan convinces her neighbours to chip in their meagre earnings to help Ray's dream in the hopes he can compete with the racing elite.
That's a true story. I know it now, yeah. That would be really, really interesting. Yeah, good.
It's always important through the magic of the web and indeed the pad to effectively go straight to those things. Exactly.
I know. What would we do without the internet? What would we do without Google?
So that's one to look out for, Graham. Again, it was filmed, obviously, in Wales, I think, from that point of view. So,
excellent.
As we all know, the Welsh are a law unto themselves, as Graham, you will attest to. It's very
I do. I loved working there. They were such nice people to work with. All of them.
Yeah, because so go on.
No, go on.
Second question. I was just going to say lots of Doctor Who was all filmed around Cardiff, wasn't it? So you must have spent a lot of time over there.
Everything since Russell T Davies brought it back in 2005, filmed in Cardiff, really. They actually went overseas, which did they do for Waters of Mars? Did you go overseas for that?
No.
I thought you might have gone to Mars, but you know, it's a different idea.
No, we were in a warehouse mainly in Cardiff.
Which is another good title for you know, if we can't actually sell to producers Graham Harper snivelling through a movie set, we could actually try, you know, a warehouse in Cardiff. I'm just putting it out there.
Absolutely.
I'm still working on sort of WWF wrestling, the college version during lockdown in North Carolina. I think that's it's a way forward. We'll put it to Stacey Souther when he's next on in the next few weeks, of course. Yeah, he'll be joining us there. It'd be good,
wouldn't he?
What's the second question?
And the second question is, what exactly do you do, Emma? Are you a journalist? No. I mean, you don't read the news, I presume. You actually report on entertainment purely, or do you have a bigger, wider scope?
Yeah, so I actually work for an outlet, a radio outlet, that just does entertainment news. So I'm doing different jobs each week. We kind of rotate our shifts in that way. So one week I'll be out on reporter shift, going and interviewing people, whether that be on a red carpet, not at the moment, obviously, or, you know, at a film junket, or, you know, interviewing people about a TV series or a new album. And then other weeks I'm creating video content for online. And then other weeks I'm just writing lots of copy stories, and I'm reading an entertainment-based news bulletin that goes out to lots of different stations around the country. I think we've got about 125 stations across the country that we send our entertainment news bulletins to. So I could be anywhere at any point.
I still say, Emma, that one of your pinnacles of achievement, really, which I think made your first-class honours degree in journalism from the University of Lincoln so much more worthwhile, was when you were reading the traffic and travel on TalkSport in the Alan Brazil show. That's all we needed, really.
I do kind of miss my days as a traffic reporter, actually. I was catching up recently with a couple of my former colleagues. And you know what? I would, if anyone does want to get into radio, I think that is a really fantastic, you know, starting point. I learned so much from my time being a traffic reporter, and it sounds like quite a boring job, but genuinely talking about the roads all day was very exciting. It was very fast paced as well. But yeah, I do kind of miss it. So if anyone wants to get into radio, that's a good starting point for sure.
Or else they can always apply to join the Midweek Drive. That is another option.
They could. That's a great starting point as well.
Graham, would you like to ask those last two questions to Jessica in North Carolina and Emma somewhere in the south of England, dealing with her postponed wedding, but still actually keeping a bright face on the future?
I will. It's a pity. It's all gone very quickly. So both
fireworks
of you
going off now outside. It's genius, you know. we're just in bonfire time. Sorry, carry on.
So have you had a reasonably interesting conversation with us?
I have, for sure. Definitely.
And Emma, has it been a good return to the Midweek Drive for your good self?
It has. I've really enjoyed it. We need to do it more often, Alex. I'd love to be back more.
Well, Jessica's actually done three of these in a row from North Carolina. There'll be people saying, you know, what's going on the same day as well. It's amazing.
Well done, Jess.
Thank you.
And as we're well aware, Emma, the next sort of mission is to actually put Jessica Burtis together with our New Zealand Jessica, of course, because Emma and Jessica, that it'll happen. I know, it'll work on that basis. So that's the next one. Graham, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Yes, I'm sorry it was a bit late, but yeah, it was very, very good.
You came late, then there were two of you at the same time, one of which was muting the other. You couldn't hear what was happening. I was trying to work through what was happening. It was quite surreal. Not quite as surreal as the piece we actually had with Kat Rambo. Yes, it's her real name. Earlier in the production, but that's by the by. Anyway. One day you'll read one of her books as well. It's great. Second question, Graham?
Yes, and will you both come back and see us again?
Yes, absolutely.
Because let's face it, we're just two aging white male individuals who haven't got a thing to do other than sort of waiting for the Zoomer to keep us going. Oh, Lord, you know, it's working through that.
Jessica, the rest with us.
So, go on, Graham. Yes.
There were two wrestlers went behind Jessica then.
Oh, no, I got to run. Got to escape. Outrun the COVID.
I think, let's be honest, Graham, they were wrestlers, not rustlers or wrestlers. Either of those three things have got North American antecedents. One with snakes, one with horses, and one with other human beings. So
yes.
You know, it's just, home of wrestlers, rustlers and wrestlers could be another theme to the Kardashians, but that's another line. Graham Harper, Jessica Burtis, Emma Tinson, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. We will be, I'm sure, connecting in a safe version in the not-too-distant future. Let's all say happy trails.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Certainly, as far as the Midweek Drive is concerned, we've been privileged to actually speak to a number of key composers of iconic moments. The late, great Barry Gray, of course, back in the 20th century. Clearly, Murray Gold from BBC's Doctor Who and so on. But today, a very special day, because we're delighted to welcome for the first time on the Midweek Drive composer extraordinaire to talk about a recent survey by Sony in terms of the music that really impacts us in terms of television theme tunes, the awesomely talented David Lowe. How are you, David?
Very kind of you to say that, Alex. I'm absolutely great. Yeah, very nice to be here and talk to you today. It's brilliant.
Excellent. Now, as I said, we were reflecting actually on another program just a few days ago about how iconic the music of Dominic Frontier was with respect to the Invaders TV series, with respect to his work on The Outer Limits. Barry Gray, of course, known for Thunderbirds, or yourself for Countryfile. And all, I mean, music has this power really to really impact our whole experience of memory and indeed TV programs that we've come to know and love.
It does. I mean, music is such a wonderful art form in itself. You know, I think it's probably the best. Well, I mean, I'm biased because I do music, but music's just so amazing anyway. And because it's unconscious, you don't have to think or do anything. It just goes into your head and it puts you into a certain frame of mind, you know. And so, which makes music for TV even more in fun and exciting, because the Sony Channel did a sort of survey about what people liked about theme tunes, and one of the things that they said, the big thing, was about nostalgia. You know, was a very big thing, and they're absolutely right. You know, as soon as you hear one of those really old theme tunes, you know, like Starsky and Hutch or Charlie's Angels or MASH, you're instantly taken back there to those times. Oh yeah, the program's on. You know, sit down, forget all the horrible, dreary news going on, and let's just relax and just enjoy a really nice, good TV show. And I think that's what a theme tune does. It draws you into the program. It's part of the whole experience of enjoying the show. And you know, so when you're writing a theme tune, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create something that's sort of joyful, that's got love in it, that's exciting, that empathizes with the audience. That's nostalgia is a big part of it as well. You know, I was brought up on those iconic old theme tunes, the sort of things, the shows that Sony are playing at the moment on, you know, Saturdays. They've got Saturday's Nostalgia Day. They've got Charlie's Angels on this week and Starsky and Hutch next week. And so, I mean, I'm from that era. I was brought up with that sort of show. So, you know, nostalgia is a big thing for me as well. And I think when I started writing theme tunes, that was what hooked me onto it, was that lovely feeling, you know, sort of Ronnie Hazelhurst theme tunes. You remember all those, like the Two Ronnies and The Last of the Summer Wine and all those sort of shows. So it's just a joy, and it's still a joy to do now.
It's interesting that we've seen a shift recently, of course, in terms of moving away from obviously opening TV credits sequences, things like Heart to Heart, even Murder, She Wrote, where there was clearly an association, as you mentioned, with the shows that you stated, like Charlie's Angels and so on, between the opening credits and the TV theme tune. Many shows these days actually just literally start, bang, you're there, you might just have a one slide. I mean, I blame J.J. Abrams and Lost, really, from that point of view, where music is still very much part of it. But if I was to ask somebody, say, well, can you hum the theme from Lost, for instance, I suspect they might be sort of pushed to know where to start.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I mean, the style of making shows has changed. And I think as TV's grown and more channels competing for more and more audiences, they're trying to basically grab the audience's attention as quickly as they can. And so, you know, the thought is that having a 30-second theme tune is probably too slow, that people are going to lose their attention and whatever. And so there's this thing of like, let's get in there quickly, let's start the show. And so a lot of the factory shows that I've worked on, you tend to do like a sort of minute or so bed or menu before the show starts, and in today's show we're going to be doing this and we're going to do it, and then will John make it and all that sort of thing. And then it slides into like a little sort of 10-second, like you say, slide or a bit of graphic. And that's the thing. But
well, I mean, I was thinking certainly Cash in the Attic, Country File. I mean, Country File actually really works because, again, you've got a nice opening sequence, not too dissimilar, admittedly, a bit more pacey than the Last of the Summer Wine scenario there. I mean, the other thing which I think is particularly impressive is the way in which music tends to change. I mean, we go through electronic modes. I mean, clearly the Delia Derbyshire's back in the day and the Ron Grainer interpretation, and then on to full string orchestral accompaniments, rather like your interpretation of Vangelis's Chariots of Fire back in the 2012 period.
Absolutely. I was so honoured to be asked to do that for the Olympics. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been a massive Vangelis fan for all my life, really. So to be actually asked to arrange Chariots of Fire, which is a fantastic piece of music, to be played out at the Olympic medal ceremonies in 2012 was one of those ones that goes on my mantelpiece, you know, of wonderful things that I've been privileged to be asked to do, you know. So great, and a great piece of music, very simple, you know, like they've got two sections. And then you just don't get bored with the tune. I mean, I did 12 minutes of it and it was like the same tune just for 12 minutes. And it's like, doesn't, still great. You know, you don't think, oh, that's that bit again. It's just brilliant. You know, that's the art.
I think so. Certainly in terms of nostalgia, the Carl Sagan TV series Cosmos, which featured obviously the music of Vangelis Papathanasiou throughout, I think that was the first thing that really switched me on to obviously the huge range of things you can actually do with orchestras and so on.
But interestingly, though, because I did the BBC News theme, obviously.
It's a classic. It is a classic.
That started off before my version. It was all big, majestic, grand orchestral themes, a bit like this. That sort of feeling, you know, and really fantastic, beautiful pieces of music. But the thought was they'd done that, and it was time to do something completely new and different. And it was about finding a sound that was so different, everybody would just go, we've never heard that before on news, what's that, you know? And it was finding something really distinctive, you know, and normally with music, it's all about melody. That's what we pick out, or a sound or a melody, you know? And, but this was like, can we find a sound that it doesn't even have to be musical that we could use? And we were chatting about different sounds, and they mentioned the pips, you know, on the radio. As soon as you hear that, you know it's the news is coming on. And that's been part of the BBC heritage since it started. So I was thinking, well, maybe I could use the pips as a sound and add a dance beat to it. You know, just let's be really radical here. Let's go for that. So
it's almost like having a rave in the 80s all over again. It's amazing. Or even the 90s, whatever.
Adding the bass line. So it was just finding something recognizable but completely different, and which will stand the test of time, and touch wood, it's still going.
I mean, it's interesting the way in which we borrow from the past as well, because returning very briefly to Cut to Countryfile, I think I got echoes as well of the classic Dr. Finlay's Casebook coming in there as well, and the sort of rural thing. You mentioned, obviously, Last of the Summer Wine. I mean, is there a formula? I mean, clearly there are an infinite number of areas in which you can use the octave and the notes to actually sort of raise things. But is there a formula that you tend to go to? I mean, you've just deconstructed the news, which is fantastic. Is there something which we say, yeah, actually, we work for this because obviously your major chords are your sort of driving ones, your minor ones are perhaps your more melancholy aspects?
Absolutely. I mean, there is obviously, like, you don't have a lot of time with the theme tune to sort of, because you've literally got, nowadays it's like 15 seconds, you know, it used to be 30. So we start off with that in mind, and you know that you've got to fit your piece of music into 30 seconds. So that really sort of starts you in a direction. And it's a little bit like cooking, you know, you've got a set of ingredients, like somebody says, oh, can you cook us a meal for 10 people? And we quite like curry, you know, and you think, ah, but they're all vegetarian. And that guy doesn't eat aubergine or something. So what could I do? So you start thinking about what the ingredients are going to be out of your sort of library and sounds that you know and sounds that you've got, and then start putting things together, you know, and cooking them together and coming up with the sound.
And when you're a master chef like yourself, David, obviously it's effortless. That's the key thing. So 70s Saturday, I mean, I can't believe you're actually old enough to remember the 70s from that point of view, but it's every Saturday in September, obviously still running from 1 p.m. on the Sony Channel. Is it Starsky and Hutch? Is that your number one show? I mean, or is it Charlie's Angels, or is it Murder, She Wrote? Where would you actually say, actually, if you were to push me, I'd say this is what I go for?
I think MASH is definitely my favourite show out of the ones that Sony are playing. Gorgeous.
Not the most optimistic of theme tunes, of course, with respect to obviously Suicide is Painless, but what the heck?
It's quite sort of, yeah, quite sad in a way. But I mean, you know, but
so was the Korean War.
Yeah, no, that's true. It was, wasn't it? But wistful, melancholy, sad, but at the same time, sort of loving as well. It pulled you into the show, definitely. And it's one, you know, that da, 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 it takes me back straight away to sitting there when I was a teenager and
or thereabouts.
But so they're all great shows. The Charlie's Angels is on this week on Saturday, and Starsky and Hutch next week. That was an interesting one, Starsky and Hutch, actually, because I was watching there's some of the old title sequences recently, and it's like the first season of Starsky and Hutch, the title music was cut to all those action sequences of them driving their car around and jumping out and generally doing their stuff.
David Soule's back has never been the same since he landed on the top of the car.
Absolutely. And it was the first serious music was classic 70s sort of funky action-packed thing. And then series second season came along, and they'd really sort of pull the music back, and it was much more laid back and dang, you know, it's like almost more about the characters being developed and got to love them as
and more of the saxophone, of course, which you can't beat a good saxophone.
So it sort of like slowed down from the first, but the actual visuals are exactly the same of them jumping over their cars and running around, but the music had slowed down quite a lot. So that was quite an interesting.
And of course, the classic shot of them climbing out of the swimming pool after they'd escaped in the pilot episode from the explosion. It's unbeatable.
It's all there on Sony Channel.
Well, that's the fun thing. I mean, we could go on to talk for a whole heap of other stories. We've got another couple of final questions for you. But first of all, where can we find out more information about this amazing 70s Saturday piece of information, and indeed the Sony survey, perhaps?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all there on Sony. It's on Freeview 48, Sky 157, Freesat 142, Virgin 189. And there's like loads of information online, of course, about all the shows. And it's just, this September, Sony Channel bringing you back to the 70s every Saturday with a super 70s show.
Oh, I mean, you've always done the jingle right there. Two final questions, David. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today? Has it been good for you?
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Well, then the next critical question is, can we prevail upon you to maybe join us again in the not-too-distant future and come back and share some more insights into the magic of TV theme tunes?
Absolutely. No problem at all.
Fog I see, visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless.
Suicide.
It brings on many changes.
Changes.
And I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skins. It doesn't hurt when it begins, but as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger, watch it grin. Suicide is painless, it brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. A brave man once requested me answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me? Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. You can do the same thing.